Welcome back. You're with the Kudamine Champions on ABC Local Radio. It's good morning once again to Torch McGee.
Yes, good morning, Richo, and to everyone out there.
Good morning again to Greg Champions.
Good morning.
Billy Baxter.
Hello, Richo. Hello, listeners. Hello, compadres.
Ian Cover.
Yes, good morning again. We've come up smiling.
Very much so.
And it's good morning from me, Jeff Richardson. You are with the Kudamines on ABC Local Radio. Well, let's talk about this week in football.
Yes, indeed. What a week in football. It's preliminary final week,
this
isn't
week
it?
In 1981. I got in a car with Simon Whelan and Ewan Keddie and drove from Carlton out to Waverley to watch a final.
Yeah.
Geelong were playing, and they had to come all the way from Geelong on the bus. And playing for Geelong was one of the most exciting players of that late 70s, early 80s period. Remember when he used to run around with Big Carl at the Saints? Gary Sidebottom. Sidey joins us on the line. Welcome to the Kudamines, Gary.
Thanks very much, boys.
And you wouldn't guess what we're ringing you about.
Mate, is the conversation I had with Danny from Duke Street and Footscray.
How did you know?
It was on this day in 1981. But before we get up to ways of getting to the football, driving, going by bus, walking, whatever we do, can we go back in your career? Tell us about when you first came over to Victoria.
I came over in the 1978 year. My first year was St Kilda. Absolutely fantastic. I ran to a bloke called Mike Patterson who showed me the ropes about AFL footy because I was fairly new in the system as far as how to play the game over there. But he was a fantastic coach, great players at the time at St Kilda, the Trevor Barkers, as I say, the Carl Dietriches, Jeff Saroos, all those sort of players, Gary Colling, all tremendously helpful in the time. And I really enjoyed my time at St Kilda.
How long were they chasing you to come over to Victoria, Sidey?
Since I was about 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because I signed with Footscray originally.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to sort of play there, but I always was a St Kilda supporter. Back in the black and white days, I used to watch them on TV. So I thought, it was a great experience when Graham Huggins and Ian Drake came over and spoke to me and said, they'd like to see me play in Victoria. And I thought, it'd be a good chance, and the time was right, and I left Perth and came to Victoria.
And, Sidey, you mentioned the late Mike Patterson, the Swamp Fox. He had that distinctive style. He'd get down onto the boundary line and pace up and down the boundary line, coaching you from the line as the game was going. Tell us about that.
Oh, man, I think in those days, he was a type of coach that sort of was a power coach, big blokes in the centre. If you've got five blokes playing in the centre against five medium-sized blokes, generally the five taller ones win out. I think his presence on the boundary line gave us a great lift because he was very involved in the game, loved his footy like most of us did, and seeing him on the boundary when games were tight gave us a bit more, impetus as far as what we can put into the game. Seeing your coach, it's not like these days you see your coach going off in the box, it gives you no enthusiasm at all. But on the ground, because now they're starting to come down the ground when the game's tight and they do have a benefit.
And, Gary, if they were so helpful in transitioning you into the Victorian style of football and way of life, how did you end up at Geelong a mere 3 years later?
It was a travesty of justice, I suppose, mate. It's like any sport of the modern era, trading, selling, buying and selling, it's all part of the modern game. Even back then when contracts were coming up for renewal, obviously there was people in the club who thought that was a possibility. I was coming up for contract, and they obviously thought, we can't keep afford to paying this amount of money, or the club's struggling, whatever the case may be. So at that time they thought, we'll sell him.
So you become a commodity in essence, don't you?
Oh, very much so. I knew straight away, as soon as I went to Victoria, that I was. Would love to have stayed at St Kilda all my life. I was captain there, and would have loved to have stayed there, but, new people come into the club and they do all sorts of new things without really sort of looking at the big picture. All they see is something worth selling. We might get something back. And at the end of the day, really, those era when they sold me, they really didn't go forward. If anything, they went backwards. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't because of me, but I think at the time, those sort of policies weren't really the thing to do because, as I say, when I went to Geelong, St Kilda didn't really improve much. So I can't see the reason why they, I know the reason why they sold me, because the contract came up. There was a few things in the contract that I wanted, not more money, just more incentives.
Yep.
If I won this, if I kicked 100 goals, if I came first and best, I'd get an extra amount of money. And obviously someone in the club thought that was possible.
Anyway, Geelong had a good year in 1980, finished on top of the ladder but got beaten in the finals. Had a very good defence, but they clearly decided, knew they had to get a key forward and targeted you, because I was actually writing for the Geelong Advertiser during 1980 and people were ringing me all the time. I won't reveal any names, saying, Sidey's coming, all that sort of stuff. And eventually I wrote the story that you were coming, and then we were all very excited. And you played a few games early and then you were gone from the side.
Yes.
Yeah. And then up until Premier League final day, when you were back in the... Well, some people thought you were back in the side.
Well, at the start of it, you know, there was always promises by certain people in the club that I was doing this and doing that. Yes, I did eventually go down along with, you know, the focus on me being a key forward.
Mm.
But at the time, I think other people had other ideas. You know, there was a lot of controversy within the club about money and so forth and what I was getting paid and all those sorts of things that creep into footy clubs where players of other seem to think that, you know, that wasn't the right way to go. And, you know, I was on the outskirts right from the start because, you know, my first training session, I think I sort of went for the ball and accidentally knocked someone out and unfortunately had to be the coach's nephew, and that didn't help matters.
Right.
They give me this handbag business, they want someone strong down strong. Well, you know, strength comes from within, not by getting someone else to go around punching people.
Yeah, of course, the focus went off you pretty quickly when halfway through the year Brian Peake flew in.
Oh, mate, didn't they? They mortgaged the town hall to get me and sold it to get in.
Anyway, sadly, well, that brings us up to this week in footy in 1981, and the story's been recounted many times. And in fact, there's a great new book out by James Button called Comeback, The Fall and Rise of Geelong Football Club. And there's a fair bit of coverage of the Sidey and the Bus episode. And I think you're actually quoted in there as saying you told club officials the day after that you were prepared to take one for the team and you wouldn't be saying anything about it.
Unfortunately, at the time, mate, well, you tend to think, well, I was of the opinion that, you know, I love my footy and I love people who play the game at a high level. And at the coach at the time was probably that sort of person. I didn't want to put him in a bad situation or the club, mainly because, you know, there was some internal stuff going on that I didn't know about, but I know about now.
Mm.
But unfortunately, you know, that compromised the whole situation. People wondered, you know, litigation came into it. You know, if you say this, we can't say this. So at the end of the day, you know, I've been living off it for the last 20 years of sports nights.
I'm surprised no one's actually had you, you know, as the face of a bus line somewhere for advertising.
Well, funny you say, mate, I went back to the 150th anniversary and I sort of got it off my chest there with Billy Brownless and so forth. And I think that was a good case of solving the whole situation as far as the bus concerned. And you know, it's fairly simple. You catch a bus when you're asked to catch it, not when you're not.
And so what did you do all day? Did you listen on the radio to 3GL's coverage of the game?
Oh, mate, when the bus turned up at the ground and I wasn't on the bus and people were sort of saying, we're Sidey, and, you know, I said, well, I've got to listen to this now. And unbeknownst to me, then all of a sudden Peter Johnson runs onto the ground. Now, Peter went to Werribee, had his pie and his coke and whatever he had, his hamburger.
In the interest of accuracy, Sidey, I see Jono every week at golf and he's confirmed it was a half chicken and chips and a strawberry thick shake. But the worst thing was he was in a car with Andy Preston and Kelvin Matthews. They went through two packets of cigarettes in the car.
Yes. Well, I imagine Kelvin would have helped me out there, but that was the dilemma, you know, when you think about how can they drag someone out of the grandstand and make him play against Billy Pickett or Renee Kink and expect him to get a kick.
So is the story of you just sitting at the side of the road with your footy bag and not getting picked up, was that apocryphal? Or
you didn't
No, no, mate. My responsibility was to sit by the phone and wait for the call, as I usually did Friday nights.
Mm.
You know, if I'm in the team, someone from the club, usually the coach or the general manager, ring me up and say, listen, Sidey, you're in the team.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens, because I was living in Lara at the time, I used to drive my car to the freeway, park up, wait for the bus to come, and they'd pick me up.
So they should have invented mobile phones a lot earlier, Sidey.
Oh, but when you think about it, even though they did have mobile phones there, there was, I counted them, 43 phone boxes between Geelong and Waverley.
Oh, it's good to see you've let it go then, Gary.
Hey,
well, mate, I've got to keep tabs on it because, you know, I still make a quid out of a sports night.
So yes, of course.
I'm pretty current.
Hey, whereabouts was the property in Lara? Because I think there should be a sign saying Sidey lived here.
Yeah. Mate, on Minyard Road.
Minyard Road.
Well, there should be a statue of you standing there with your footy bag waiting for the bus. Gary, how long did you wait till you realised that the bus wasn't coming?
Mate, I waited all day.
And next time you saw the coach face to face, was it awkward? Was there anger?
Yeah, very much so.
Ooh.
Oh, well, you know, you had to make a public apology. Mm-hmm. I think at the end of the day, you know, I was doing my thing. I came to training on the next Sunday morning. They all came out and said, "Where were you? Where were you?" And people were saying, "Well, you know, someone had to make a phone call to Sidey to get him on the bus," and no one did.
Yeah, right.
And I think that's an absolute shame because, you know, what happened in the mix-up, you know, the controversy and all those sort of things with Peter, even the coach, you know, as they're not clarifying where they stand. So I did get a phone call, don't get me wrong, I did get a phone call Friday night, but it wasn't from anyone of power.
Right. And so, Sidey, the Cats lost that game by 7 points. Could you have made 8 points difference and we would have won?
Oh, no, I don't think so. Really, at the end of the day, it's like last night, you know, did Teddy Whitten make any difference last night? I think he did.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting to note in Mike Coward's report
in The Age, Ian,
Billy Goggin has been quoted here at the end of the article. Goggin has blamed the loss on the inability of his forward players. So had you been there, we certainly know you had ability.
Yeah.
Well, I think at the time, though, I was told weeks before, you know, with the Billy Pickin and the Renee King situation that I was playing Renee King because it was a bit faster, and Stephen Reynoldson was playing on Billy. And that was going to be the draw code. So we're going to kick it wide most of the time out there because it's fairly big ground.
Yep.
And see if we can run them off their legs. And that was the conversation I had with the hierarchy. And I thought, this sounds good.
And of course, in the issue of you not getting to the bus or being told to get to the bus, it gets overlooked that David Clark was also dropped for that game, which I think was as if not as big a controversy, it might have been a greater one.
He wasn't dropped. He was the DCM.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't dropped. He was just told not to return to the club. And I thought that was terrible, you know, the way they went about it. You know, it happens even these days, you know, when players are told certain things. You know, the classic North Melbourne situation, you know, and unfortunately, it even happened then.
Anyway, when you left, you went to Fitzroy and had a marvellous... They loved you at Fitzroy, Sidey.
You had three seasons there.
Mate, the reason why I loved it, because I was getting conversations or reports from Robert Walls while I was playing at Geelong, you know, he was saying, how come you're playing like a league player in reserves? And I said, well, that's up to the coach. Anyway, when I went there, you know, it was Robert Walls basically that got me back on track by saying that I had the ability. You don't lose your ability. You might lose your confidence.
Yeah.
You never lose your ability. And he had faith in me. Knowing, you know, he got to the point where, you know, as he did, knew my family, knew my wife, knew my kids, and knew what made turn me on as far as footy was concerned. You know, his notes, the right notes to you, personal notes to you about your performance, about your game. And when people do that, they have an utmost respect for me because they've got the love of the game, the interest of the game, and they want you to succeed.
He was a great communicator, Robert.
Yeah.
Well, mate, comes from his teaching background, obviously, and, you know, through his media work, he's always got a great opinion of the game, great strategies, and, you know, he's just a great coach.
Yeah. Well, even in your short time at Geelong, you made a few friends, and I ran into one of them the other day. He was over for Corey Enright's record-breaking game. That was Ian Nankervis.
Yes.
And I remember Ian and Glenys telling me that when you had club dinners, if Ian or Glenys couldn't eat all their food, they could just give it to you and you'd finish it off for them, Sidey.
No, they were great fellas down there, Ian and Bruce Nankervis, great players. Yeah. Got on pretty well with them, yeah. I was a bit... Always good on the fang.
Yeah. Gary, it's been marvellous speaking with you this morning. It's amazing to think it was this very day in 1981, and given everything else you did in your football career, a ridiculous amount of focus gets on what happened that day. But may you continue to dine out on it.
I appreciate it very much, lads. It's great talking to you.
Good on you, Sidey.
Thanks a lot. Gary, the great bye-bye. Gary Sidebottom, on this day in 1981.
He was a very skillful player.
Oh, he was. Fabulous.
His skills were immense.
Remember him and Big Carl ran together in the ruck with the Sharks?
Yeah, frightening.
We used to go and watch him at Fitzroy, and he would just bring joy to your heart the way he went about.
Just sensational. You're with the Cooter Man. You've got to quickly dip into the mailbag. What have you got there, champs?
Only just it's dropping off, but you'll get more this afternoon around the regional
country football. afternoon.
But Charlton take on Wichee in the North Central Grand Final. Charlton are in their fourth straight grand final. They've lost the last three by 8 points, 1 point, and 12 points. Charlton's battling floods once again. The threat in the town with the peak expected this morning. The club's last training run was held in front of car headlights because the power was cut. The boys organised 10 cars and a ride alight to ground. Charlton is coached by Aaron Walklate. And standing before them is Wichee's Corey Jones, ex-North.
Okay.
And the Avoca River. St Arnold is 42k upstream and the road is cut off by the flood. Will the teams make it to the granny? Charlton boys, Charlton knocked over Wichee in the second semi. Will Sammy's hammy stand up after carrying sandbags to protect Pa's home? Pa is Doc Walklate, grandfather of the three sons, and the town's now retired local GP, a 91-year-old who delivered half the town. Aaron's dad, Rick, is the publican at the East Charlton Hotel, the only building to not be flooded in 2011 due to the local fire brigade working madly through the on the pumps all night in the dark, no power then either.
We'll keep tabs on them this afternoon's on Grandstand's Grassroots Footy.
And get answers to all of those questions on Grandstand this afternoon.
And cheerio to our good friend John Forbes. Mitty played in the grand final last week.
Gets Bridgewater?
And Bridgewater made it 7 in a row.
Yes, and big cheerio, Forbesy, always thinking of you.
It's time to turn our attention now to the Twitter feed. Andy Bellairs, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jeff, and may I just go back to that point.
Hey,
the old Charlton, Wichee in the North Central League, my old league, playing at St Arnold. They play it there because they have the traffic lights. And the Walklate boys, I think Aaron, I think he was in my class at school, and he's been a very good footballer for a very long time. So good luck to the Charlton team.
Good luck getting to the game.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, why
didn't you kick on with your football career like him from the same grade?
Don't think I had the guts.
That settles that.
Right. We found out this morning that String is going to be singing at the grand final.
Yes.
The first question that comes to everybody's mind is, not really a lot in his catalogue that you can tap your toe to or sing along with. So we asked people on the Could Have Means Twitter feed this morning to suggest what he might sing for us. Andy, what have we got?
Let's start with our friend, good old Swish. That's the sting about football.
That's good.
Of course.
Yeah. A couple of people have suggested this one in different variations. I'm going to go with Emma, who suggests that he could sing I Can't Stand Losing. You? See? It's the, Traralgon Tiger, maybe he could, Sting could rework Mike Brady's September Classic and make it One Day in October. Sleep Enthusiast, anything by They Might Be Giants, John Swan, Counting Crows, or Hey Bulldog by the Beatles.
Oh, yeah.
That's clever.
Yeah.
Clever.
Yvette reckons, for the Hawks fans, Why Should I Cry for You? Tram Panto, put him in Angry's Batmobile and have him sing Baked Beans. Perfect homage to the entertainment of old.
Baked Beans?
That was Mother Goose, I think.
Yeah, it might have been too.
Yeah.
Trivalve, Who Let the Dogs Out?
Yep.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Tractor Beams. Sting should do a cover of Run the Pants Off a Kangaroo by John Williamson. Andy Bell, former colleague of ours. Oh, Danny from Droop Street Boy. Justin of Earlwood, if they're there, it's a long way to the Geelong when the Cats are on at home.
Oh, Danny Boy. That's about as lively as Sting's material gets, isn't it?
It's not a show, Tepper. It's not a sing-along.
It's up there with Fields of Barley.
Another colleague of ours, Rob Cross. Every Little Thing Bont Does Is Magic.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Damo has, it's a pictorial representation here, but Don't Stand So Close to Me, a tribute to the MCC members, and there's a picture of the line outside the members trying to get in last night. Captain Zero, Sting worked with Zappa once. Maybe he could do Why Does It Hurt When I Pee?
Come on.
Thanks,
that's a
Captain.
Bit, that's a bit
The Captain is a witchy boy, so good luck to the Captain's witchy team. And I think Captain tweeted during the week that his wife is the witchy-proof line marker.
And if they get up, we must sing witchy-proof lineman next week.
Line marker.
Yes.
What about, we'll go to Phineas wants a lovely bunch of coconuts.
So now, do we.
That'd get him singing along.
Lockie reckons that if it's Geelong's in the grand final, Sting could play Danger Fields of Gold. Mm-hmm. And if Adelaide is, if you love somebody, set them free.
Poignant.
Yeah. Shell reckons a barista in New York.
That's a winner.
That is a good one. That is a good one. Steve, often known as Mona, the way the Bullies are going, he could do a version of Mad Dogs and Englishmen.
Mona, thank you.
And where are we going?
Mad Dogs and Englishmen in New York.
We'll go with one more. Chatty Arm. If Adelaide makes it, a tribute to Eddie Betts. Every little thing he does is magic.
Oh, well, that might work for him. Well, there's no dancing in the on the ceiling there, is there?
No,
I want a party all night long, and, like Lionel did. Lionel had the joint jumper.
Rock and roll, you gave me all the best years of my life.
Thanks to Matt, who tweeted from La Iruela in Andalusia, Spain, as well.
Oh, and there was one Twitter last night ahead of today's discussion. And Sting could do it, which is a toe tapper. To Paul Kelly's I Want to Be Like, he could do I Want to Play Like Bontempelli.
Yeah, it scans.
It does scan.
I'd like to see a Caleb Daniel. Can you do a parody to Caleb Daniel?
A tribute, not a parody.
Oh, I love that. He's such a good player.
You just want a song about him, man.
I don't care which song.
You got your standard one, Caleb Daniel. You were always Caleb Daniel, sort of thing.
I want to be like Caleb Daniel.
I'm trying to read the look on Greg Champion's face there, Andy. It's very hard to tell. Andy, thank you for all those tweets. Thanks to our Twitterers.
We'll send them down to Dave O'Neill in the AFL media department. He can pass them on to Sting.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm thinking there are no Calebs in the old days of footy.
Surely in Adelaide.
There were probably some Calebs running around in 1856. They would have come straight off the Ballarat goldfield.
Yes, straight off the boat. But there's a Caleb Marchbank too.
There is.
There's lots more Twitters than Andy was able to read out. If you go to couldhavebeens.com.au, you can read them all. But right now, it's time for more footy songs with Greg Champion coming up right after this.
You're with the Could Have Been Champions, Jeff, Ian, Billy, Greg, and Torch.
That's the lot of us. We're the Could Have Been Champions, and you're listening to ABC Local Radio. What have we got, champs? More songs that we were crossed that we didn't sing last Sunday.
What would this be, Richo? Could be anything.
Could be anything.
So, because of Bontempelli taking the game by the scruff of the neck, the throat of the scruff of the throat, to mix your metaphors. Listeners did email and say, let's revive those Bont songs. Adrian Nelson sent this idea a couple of years back. Bontempelli takes a while, this taking dog fans on to the glory land. A little while. Bontempelli thrilling the hearts of the doggy fans. Because if you have not heard the talk, the doggies knocked out the hawks. Gets going a bit. And what about Rough Head Dollhouse? Yes, and
Big Tommy Boy.
And what about Libba and Pickin? Yes, and
Big Tommy Boy.
What about Caleb Daniel? Yes, and
Big Tommy Boy.
And think about old Bob Murphy, yes, and
Big Tommy Boy.
Because the word's over town. The dogs are glory bound. Oh, what's more now? What about Roughhead Dollhouse, yes, and
Big Tommy Boy.
And what about Libba and Pickin? Yes, and
Big Tommy Boy.
What about Caleb Daniel? Yes, and
Big Big Tommy Boy.
Think about old Bob Murphy, yes, and
Big Tommy Boy.
That's nice. The word is all over town. You know what it is. Ooh, the dogs are glory bound. And if you have not heard the talk, what happened, chaps? Ooh, the dogs knocked out the hogs. I mean, yeah, they knocked out the hogs. Oh, yeah. I really mean it.
Okay. The dogs.
Oh. You know, you get the idea, don't you, Bex?
I do.
So, we do want to get through four songs here.
Yes,
so, this is for Fresh One. Now, Michael Pryor, he actually wanted to comment on Jago O'Mara's planned shift, Torchy 2.
To the Hawks.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that won't be the key. I am a high drive pick. I'm an ambidextrous kick. I'm elite in class in all areas and returning to top nick. And my contract's up real soon. And I know what I want to do. Move to a team that suits my dreams. Farewell, I'm shooting through everybody. Well, you can't keep me. I'm switching to Hawthorn. You can't keep me. I'm switching to Hawthorn. You can't keep me. I'm switching to Hawthorn. Off to back the bags. Off to win a flag. Well, he played for the Crows for a while, but life there was merely a trial. And he'd always been attracted to the wonderful Sydney lifestyle. So he packed his bags and he moved to the Swannies. He packed his bags and he moved to the Swannies. He packed his bags and he moved to the Swannies to pursue his dream. Playing in a glamour team. Oh, the chorus. Yeah, you can't keep me. I'm switching to Hawthorn. You can't keep me. I'm switching to Hawthorn. You can't keep me. I'm switching to Hawthorn. Off to pack the bags. Off to win a flag. Tag that.
Off to pack the bags.
I am.
Off to win a flag.
Well, has he left it too late, Torch?
Mm. Only time will tell.
Oh, yes. So we move forward, and we do need to address tonight's game. There is a game tonight. It's been a little bit lost in the excitement of what happened last night, excitement for some. But Greg Kelly actually gave us the idea. Greg Kelly, one of our old...
Greggy?
And footy is back to its spiritual home in Sydney, the SCG, is that correct?
Yes. For 1 week only.
And the song deals with the three Rorys. We are west in not WA, the land they call South Aussie. One team has lots of Victorians, but they're wearing the Crows cozy. And three blokes there, that's Sloan and Laird, and Atkins have a story. 'Cause never has there been a team with three blokes all called Rory.
Call Rory. Call Rory. The Crows have three called Rory.
And Eddie, yes, and a Charlie too. They've had two blokes called Brody and two called Kyle, all from the land that gave the world Jack Odie. Love that one. A Riley, yes, and a Curtly too. Of course, that bloke called Taylor. But three Rorys, well, that's unique to this team from South Australia.
Call Rory, call Rory. The Crows have three, call Rory.
One more time.
Call Rory. The Crows
there's always one who wants to muck about.
Not
isn't
a
there,
feeling,
Billy?
Man.
Yeah. Why do I always get blamed?
Well, because you're the big show-off, that's
yeah.
why.
I just get into it.
Still
right?
mucking about.
Why do you always get blamed?
You know what?
Because it's always your fault.
In, you know what? In group singing terms, you are Stevie J. You just go out there and do your
I just
own.
Love me songs.
All right, one song to take it away. A song that just missed a cut last week's live show at the Arts Centre. Tim Crawford sent the idea.
Oh, g'day, Tim.
We worked on that together. Old time heaven, Western Oval, windsock blowing, standing in the outer, said Diavo, meet at Arden Street, chuck ices and hot pies, memories hard to beat. Take me home, suburban grounds, where our club once belonged, Lakeside Oval, Old Moorabbin, take me home, suburban grounds. Train horn tooting at Glenferrie, take a long tram out to Windy Hill. Prince's Park to play the blues at home. Luly Street, a scary place to go. Take me home, suburban grounds, where our club once belonged. Lakeside Oval. Lakeside Oval, Old Rabbit, take me home, suburban ground. We like to wallow in the past.
Mm. And that's it for footy songs for this morning. But, Greg, there is a time-honoured tradition now for preliminary final weekend, which will be next weekend, where you go through the best of the best, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Any hints for next week?
We'll be milking it for all it's worth.
Yeah. Why not?
It's always a very special round of the show for songs on preliminary final day. Greg goes back over the season and looks at the very best things that have come up over the course of the year.
And, Covey, is preliminary finally traditionally the day we open the time capsule?
We can have a look next week. Yes.
Have a peep.
Either that or grand final day, one or the other.
Have a peep in the dusty, musty time capsule. Now, you could be forgiven for thinking that the AFL, the Australian Football League, invented women's football about 2 weeks ago, and it just it sprung fully formed from the head of Zeus. However, it has been going for a very, very long time, and the regular VFL season has been going all year, and it's grand final day tomorrow. In the ones, the Darebin Falcons are playing Melbourne University. Yes, the Moogahs, that's probably the biggest rivalry in women's footy, the Darebin versus the Moogahs. They're playing in the grand final tomorrow, and Katie Brennan once again will be running out for the Falcons. She joins us now online. Good to talk to you again, Katie.
Hi, boys. How are we?
Good, very Katie. Well. And, all the focus on the AFL comp for next year, but everyone down at your club wants to win a flag this year.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been working really hard all year towards the big dance, and we're really looking forward to running out there. And it was a great game against the Muggers and St Kilda last weekend, and we were watching on and seeing, you know, who would be the one that we would be versing this week. We're really looking forward to getting out there and putting all our hard work to tomorrow's game.
Katie, you don't have to work that hard these days. Darebin have just dominated for about the last 6 or 7 years, haven't you? When's the last time you lost a game?
Yeah, well, we've been lucky enough that we haven't dropped a game all year, but it does come, you know, off the back of a lot of hard work and a lot of, you know, dedication. We have a new coach this year in Jane Lange, and she's our player coach, and she's just done an absolutely fantastic job and really sets a benchmark for us girls, whether we're, you know, versing the second team in the comp or the bottom team in the comp. We've always got markers that we're working towards, and just making sure we're playing team footy and Darebin footy.
But it is a grand final, and you are up against what's probably your biggest rivals over the journey. That's the Muggers. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, so I guess in previous years, our rivals had been Diamond Creek, and they, well, unfortunately, they didn't make the finals this year. But, you know, the Muggers have really strong personnel. You've got my teammates for next year, Ellie Blackburn and Emma Carney will be in Muggers colours, and Caitlin Ashmore, and they've just got a really good group. So great midfield, great outside players, and also in and under players through the engine room. So we have to work really hard to shut those players down tomorrow, and just still try and play our style of football. So it'll be a really great competition, and we're really looking forward to it.
Katie, tell us about the whole grand final day in the VWFL. Where's the venue? What's the schedule of games?
Yeah, so I guess we start off, we're really fortunate that our seconds team, so our Darabin seconds, are playing at 10 a.m. There's also a 12 o'clock game as well, and then we're sitting at 2:30, so the VFL women's will be 2:30. All games are at Coburg, it should be a really... really cracking day.
And Katie, we've just received this week over the desk a fabulous book called Play On, The Hidden History of Women's Australian Rules Football by Brunette Lenchick and Rob Hess. You've been interviewed for this book, obviously, and it shows that women have been involved in football for over 100 years before the AFL and even before the Cootabeans. Have you had a look at it?
I have. I was actually, I did a radio interview with Brunette on SEN the other day, and it's just amazing to flick through those pages and learn about the history. I guess I only know, I've only been in the women's game been playing for, 17 years, but it goes far beyond that, and the history is really rich. We hear about the Sue Albertis and the Debbie Lees and the Jan Coopers and all those amazing names that you hear in footy that have been the pioneers and the trailblazers for our game. But it does go back, far beyond that women were running around in long skirts and metal studs before that. And we got a bit of history down at the Dogs this year, and it was that Teddy Whitten and Tali Sutton had a team going, and, they would play off against each other. And also hearing about Sue Alberti, that she used to run around on Witten Oval with her boots on. So, yeah, it's great to hear about the history and that women were involved 100-plus years.
How's your form been this year? Happy with it, Katie?
Yeah, I guess personally have been playing, fairly good football. It definitely helps when you've got, the likes of Daisy Pearce and Loz Arnell and Melissa Hickey and all those superstars around you. It's great delivery into the forward line. And I think, my plan this year was just to work on my team game and to make sure that I'm playing my role each week. I, had asked to play through the midfield a little bit more as well, which is something that I'll continue to work on. But just also have a fair bit of fun out there, and it definitely helps when you are surrounded by superstars who are your great mates as well. So, I've really enjoyed this year.
And it didn't make it to print, but I'm sure that you, whilst you were being interviewed for the book, did say that you wouldn't be the player you are today without the Could've Been Champions behind.
Oh, definitely.
It goes without saying.
Hey. My first sponsors, I believe.
So, correct. Yeah.
We've got a long way. We've very little sponsorship. Hey, Katie, I know you had to concentrate on playing today, but did you sneak a look tomorrow. At the match tomorrow? Did you sneak a look at the footy last night?
I absolutely did. We had our last Darabin training session, so unfortunately I couldn't get to the game, but was definitely watching on television, and the boys just played an outstanding brand of football, and to beat Hawthorn, who are the benchmark in footy at the moment. It was an outstanding performance. So really proud of them, and it's really exciting to be a part of a club that is, doing so well.
Great. Now, as we say goodbye and wish you well, I'm going to finish with a scoop for you, Katie.
Oh.
Here's one for you and all women's football people. Peter Searle, of course, is assistant coach down St Kilda. She's going to pull the boots back on next year.
Is she?
Yep.
Okay. Who's she going to play for?
Well, the Saints got a team?
No, they don't.
Well, she's been inspired by the formation of the league and all, and she told a gathering I was at yesterday that she was going to pull the boots on
Wow-ee.
Next year.
All there right. I look forward to seeing her. Apparently, she was a great player in her time.
So. Correct.
Yeah. She's got her time.
She kind of pulled the boots on. She didn't say she's going to run out and play.
Yeah. That is a massive scoop. Katie, thanks for joining us, and all the best for tomorrow. Grand final day is a very special day, and win, lose, or draw, have a fantastic day.
No worries, guys. Thanks so much
Katie.
For having me again.
See you, Katie.
Katie Brennan playing for the Darabin Falcons tomorrow in the GF against the Mugars. You're with the Could Have Been Champions. I want to go around the panel now and I want to find out what everyone's learned today. Mm. Billy Baxter, you're first.
Well, I was very flattered to learn that I am the Stevie J of Could Have Been Songs.
Ian Cover, what did you learn today?
I learned that Wycliffe Lake Bolac... coached by a bloke who's got two nicknames for his real name, Nige Otto, and he's got a brother, Reese, who he didn't even mention, who plays in the same side.
And takes training once a week.
Yeah. No, that was Joe.
Oh, Joe, the other brother.
And yeah. there may well be another brother at home.
Who's better than all of them. Torch McGee, what did you learn
today?
Well,
I learned, and I didn't know this, that Bridgewater are coming up for their seventh premiership.
No, they won the seventh last week. They won it last week.
So, seventh premiership, that's getting up to St George standards, isn't it, really?
Astonishing. Mm. Greg Champion, what did you learn?
I learned about the challenges of Charlton. They have lost their last three grand finals by 8, 1 and 12 points. And they've had the floods in 11, the floods that are peaking this morning, and they've got and the outcome of that game against Wichy will be something to see. Mm.
And I learned the road in Lara, which the bus did not drive along. I'm not going to repeat it. You'll have to listen back to the show because Sidey told us the exact address. So if you want to reenact the incident and drive along the road in Lara on this day in 1981 where the Geelong bus did not drive, Sidey gave it away. So
I think Sidey lived in that road.
Yes.
But he used to drive over to the highway. And they'd meet him at the highway.
Oh, yeah.
More fun for all players because you can drive, you can go backwards
reenact
and forth,
the drive.
Reenact the whole thing.
We did learn today, just like you've paid off your house bag in Collingwood, Champy, Sidey's made a living out of the bus incident.
The bus incident.
Dined out on it for 35 years.
They're all the little things that we learned at the sort of the bottom end of footy, but then you've got to go right up to the top end of where it's all happening. There's only one place to go. The news desk of Outside Football, Sam Nasavi, is good enough to join us every Saturday morning. Sam, good morning to you.
Yes, I am, Jeff. Good morning.
Cool. And what about in the office today? Is it pretty good atmosphere down there after the Dogs' big win last night?
Yeah, we're all up and about down here. It's been a big night getting the report of the game downstairs to the print room, but... I think it's a very good paper today, Ian.
Well, and it's big news because isn't the Western Bulldogs about to be Travis Cloke's, new club?
Well, that's right. You would have read that in our paper last week in our special sealed section.
That's right. You had the scoop.
When you run the butter knife through that sealed bit, you would have opened it and seen that Travis Cloke had agreed to a two-year Dogs deal at a very reduced tariff. We broke that story.
And all the media people who went with it during the week didn't give you the credit that you so richly deserve.
We didn't want their credit, Ian. That's not what we're about. We're on the outside looking in. So anyway, last night's report, a wonderful report from Chloe Quayle.
Yep.
Get some hawk on your fork, done like a doggy's dinner.
Yeah, good stuff.
So that was good.
Yep.
Let's see now. We've got a wrap-up of the whole year.
Oh, terrific.
We'll start with Collingwood.
Right.
Yeah, well, they've recruited well over the summer, I believe.
Yeah, hot pies.
Is that all?
Yeah, that's all you need.
Well, I suppose it is.
This is a thigh slapper.
Mm-hmm.
Little Sport visits City Hatters for a spring carnival chapeau. Leaves with a VB carton. That's hilarious.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, and this is the first time this year with our football business cards that we've got, before pranks were even invented, I suppose.
Mm.
Ted Whitten had a 1,000 cards printed up, and we've got one of them.
Yeah.
Ronald Dale Barassi Mrs. Football. So that's pretty funny. Well,
that is. Yeah. I can imagine Ted
doing
that.
Wasn't he?
Yeah, he's a big
laughs.
Anyway, the outside paper, we're on the outside looking in still at pre-Dimitri prices. Yeah. Look forward to chatting with you next week, gentlemen.
Yeah, good stuff. In fact, you should be doing something about Sidey missing the bus because that allowed Collingwood to win that game.
Is that what I should be doing?
Yeah, just a suggestion.
Well, I'll put it with your other ones throughout the year. Just over there.
Have you used any paper basket? You haven't used any of them.
You put them in the circular file, have you?
Yeah, well, in the latrine. In the vitreous china file, Torchy.
Okay. See
ya. Well, thanks, Sam. Thanks, Sam. We'll talk to you next week. Preliminary final weekend. Sam the sub down there at Outside Footy. Racing up to the top of the clock, we'll be handing over to Grandstand shortly. But before we do that, we've got to take calls. People have got footy they want to talk about. Torch, are you all ready?
I am.
Okay, it's time for Coulda Beans Footy Talk Back. You're talking to Torch, and our first caller is ready and waiting. They're there for you, Torch.
Hello.
We get you guys.
Oh, who's calling, please?
You got it here, Hans.
Hans, where are you
from
calling?
From down at Handorf.
Handorf, oh, lovely Hans.
Listen, you guys, put it that way. I'm a little bit nervous.
Oh.
I heard on the radio, they ain't going to get that tax. You got to pay tax. You got to pay tax.
What? You're talking about Tex Walker?
You got to pay lots for tax to keep him at the club. Okay. Also, you guys.
Yes.
We got to look after our pets.
Pets?
Pets?
Any pets, we got to look after that guy.
Any more, Hans?
That's all I got, you guys.
Thank you, Hans.
And that there shiny you got.
Yeah.
Put it that way. He talked about a Dietrich. That isn't a Dietrich. Grenville Dietrich.
Oh, high spirits, finals fever over there in the Adelaide Hills.
It's nervous energy.
Oh, Harndorf is jumping. We'll go to the next caller. You're talking to Torch. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Cobb.
Oh, who's calling, please?
Bite Saucer, bloke.
Where are you calling from?
Oh, I'm in Sea Lake today.
Oh, any footy finals up there this weekend?
Oh, the blooming long way away now. We've joined this North Central League and we've had a lot of rain up here.
Yes, I know.
I think it's affecting the crops. We've got a lower lucerne crop that's underwater at the moment. Once that dries out, we'll only be good for B-grade feed, so that's a loss on that crop. It was all looking a bit too good. A lot of people were celebrating early. I don't think they understand the conditions around here. I've been here on the land for many years now, and you know, if it looks like a good year, it's not going to be. Mother Nature is a fickle mistress.
Oh, yes.
She will always come at you with something.
You got a footy question?
No, I just wanted to say, you know, if these big towns like Charlton and Witchy Proof, good luck to them in the grand final. Mm. Well done to the Sea Lake Nandaily team, first year in the league. You know, they're not going to... We're going to have to play very well to beat the big towns.
Oh, really? Yes.
You know, that St Arnold where they're playing.
Yes.
They have traffic lights.
Oh, really? Really? I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're up against it, but you're not going to give up.
Oh, we can't give up.
No.
On your source.
Never give up.
Well, recruit well for next season.
Good to hear from source up there.
Okay.
He'll keep plugging. Next caller on Coulda Beans Footy Talk Back. You're talking to Torch. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, guy.
Oh, who's calling, please?
Hayden here, fella.
Hayden, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Glen Ferry.
Right. Are you a Hawthorn supporter?
I am a Hawthorn supporter, paid up, passionate and proud. I hope you're happy.
Could you explain a little bit more of what you mean, please, Hayden?
Well, you no longer, this season, I have to consider how not to mention Hawthorn and their magnificence over the past, since their inception.
They've been,
We're quite happy to be out of the finals.
Oh, really?
We didn't want to win another grand final, really. Three sufficient. I would have thought. Your ire and vitriol means nothing to us. Yes, we might have left the ground early. Fella, that was our choice.
Okay. Yes. Well, some
that's all we have a saying. Mm.
Vos non dignus, odi odi nobis.
Oh, could you translate that for us, please, Hayden?
You don't deserve to hate us.
Oh, they're feeling it today, aren't they, the Hawks supporters?
Hayden's got, now, next caller, you're talking to Torch. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, g'day, Torch.
Oh, who's that? Is that Daddy?
It's Daddy here, mate.
Calling from Droop Street?
I'm in Droop Street in Footscray.
You must be over the moon, Danny.
Oh, it's just every week they build us up. It's going to fall down soon.
Well, you've got a big one next week. You've got to go up to Sydney. You're getting on the bus, Danny, to go up there?
Oh, I don't think I could put myself through it, Torch.
I'm sure there'll be a lot of dog supporters going up to see the game.
Making preliminary finals never ends well for us.
Well, this
look
might,
at 2010.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at 2009. Yeah,
this might
2008.
Be, this year might be an exception, Danny.
1997.
You're going to have
92,
to. 92. You'll have to break the run soon, Danny.
61. I'm 1956. I was there for them all. I can't pull myself through another one.
Oh, look, Danny, things always turn around, Danny.
It's further to fall, Torch.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
It puts pressure on everyone, Torch.
It does. It
really does.
They are the preliminary final specialists, aren't they?
That's all the calls we've got time for. I'm sorry those callers were unable to get through, but stick around. You might be able to join Grandstand during the course of the afternoon. We've got to cross down to the temple now. Guru's there.
Guru Bob, can you hear me?
Yes, this is the Guru.
Ah, yes. Come in, Guru
Were you
Bob.
Watching last night?
We were, yes.
Yes, yes. Exciting.
Yeah. Were you watching?
Well, yeah, it reminded me of the old saying. You got to feel, first of all, you got to feel for the Haji and Mitchell and Lewis and the boys.
Yes.
Old saying. You can take the boy out of Colac, but only use the back roads and only as far as Birragara Hotel.
Okay.
You
yes,
think
all right.
about that?
I am thinking
so,
about that.
So, as we were watching, in the third quarter, the Supreme Master said to me, you just get the feeling, don't you, that the next goal is of no consequence whatsoever. And so good luck to them. And old saying from my book.
Yes.
From my book. You're only saying that because that's what you think. It says in there, humble in defeat, humble in victory, unless you knock off Hawthorne out of the finals, then you may celebrate wildly, get in their faces, and go nya.
Yes.
Think about that, Touchy.
Oh, they are doing it. And any prediction about tonight's game, Guru Bob?
No. Nothing there. But remember this. If you love something, let it go. If you hate it, let that go too. Just let everything go and go down the pub. Think about that.
I'm thinking about it.
Thank you, Guru. That's it for the Good of Mean Champions. It's good morning to Ian Cover.
Yes, go Cats next Friday night.
Billy Baxter.
Enjoy your football.
Torch McGee.
Go the Bloods tonight.
Greg Champion.
Show the Crows.
Good morning and thanks to our producer, Andy Belairs.
Come on, new Casey Scorpions.
Thanks to you for listening. Lots more footy to listen to this afternoon on the ABC, so stay tuned.